coming up.
You know, after 30 years, the family is wanting to see something done, and they're just kind of left with a lot of unanswered questions and without their beloved family member.
For Vault Studios, I'm Reed Redmond. You're listening to The Daily Crime.
There's always that hole, knowing that Lisa is not with us.
30 years of not knowing. That's been the reality for the family of Lisa Jameson, a 23-year-old who seemingly disappeared from Gilbert, Arizona in the fall of 1991.
Gilbert police say it was November 4th, 1991, when Lisa was last seen in Chandler, dropping off a coworker near McQueen and Chandler Boulevard.
Colleen Sikora joins us from 12 News in Phoenix. Colleen, tell us a little bit about Lisa Jameson. What have you learned about her?
Well, Reed, first of all, thanks for having me today. You know, everything that we've heard from Lisa's family is her sister says that she was total and complete joy.
She was an integral part of this family.
The pictures that her family has shared with us, we sat down with her sister, Dr. Trevor Free Kimbrough, her niece, Babette, and her son, who was 2 at the time that Lisa went missing. He's now in his 30s, shared photos of her. And every single photo, you can see just this light in her eyes, a true joy. And that's really what her family has held on to for all of these years. And, you know, her sister says that that's really what's been missing. You know, this beautiful smile, a person who loved to laugh. You know, she was looked up to by her younger niece, who was 15 at the time that Lisa went missing. And so it's really like these memories, from her family, you know, that have kind of really stayed with them over these 3 decades. But I mean, she was 23 years old at the time that she went missing. She was a mom. She was married. Gilbert police, tell us that, they believe that she was pregnant at the time. You know, she worked at an electronics company and, had a lot of good things, you know, and really was in a family that was together a lot. They got together. They still do. But obviously without her.
You know, that joy that you talked about, it really comes out in some of the interviews in your reporting that I'll be asking about a little more as we get into it. But as you mentioned, it's been 3 decades now since Lisa Jameson went missing. As far as you've been able to learn, was there anything going on in her life prior to her disappearance to suggest something might have been wrong or off, anything like that?
You know, so that's kind of what's interesting is like, you know, her sister says, like, Lisa would never leave.
Lisa would not leave. And she definitely would not leave her son because she loved him so much.
And on top of that, Treva talks about how they had plans after, you know, they had made plans for after Lisa had gone missing. So there was things in the works. As far as anything else beyond that, you know, I think that's a question that kind of lingers as we wait to hear more from investigators and as they continue on in this case.
Take us through what exactly happened or what we know about what happened back in November of 1991. Where was Lisa last seen?
Yeah, so it was November 4th of 1991. Gilbert police tell us that she was last seen in Chandler, which is a neighboring suburb here in Phoenix. We call this metro area the Valley of the Sun, and Gilbert and Chandler, they're right next to each other. You can't really tell from street to street which city you might be in, but because everything kind of just blends together. But she was in a neighboring city from where she lived, dropping off a coworker. They worked at an electronics company, as I mentioned before. And so she dropped off her coworker in Chandler near McQueen Road and Chandler Boulevard in the morning, 7:15 in the morning, last seen dropping her off. And then that's kind of where she disappears. After that, her family talks about searching for her.
We searched for my sister every single day.
Her niece described this as a very chaotic time, and understandably so. You know, this is a family, Treva said, that, you know, they were trying to tell police, like, we are a close family. You know, our sister wouldn't just up and disappear. Treva talks about how they searched in ditches. They searched in nightclubs. They searched in other places she would frequent, like restaurants, just trying to find her and ultimately coming up empty. The next thing that police are able to find is almost a month later to the day, December 3rd, 1991, her red 1989 Pontiac Le Mans was found in the parking lot of an adult bookstore. And that was in Phoenix. So, several miles away. And they say that there was no evidence in that vehicle that was related to her disappearance. On top of that, Gilbert police say that all of her personal belongings were left at her home. So no money was drawn from her bank account. So just kind of a very odd situation, you know, when you look at it. Her personal belongings are at home. Her car is several miles away in Phoenix, and no Lisa.
Right. Usually you'd think if somebody were planning to leave, they'd grab their things, they'd stop by the bank, things like that. But that doesn't sound like was the case here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's kind of where the questions are left for this family. You know, they have a lot of questions. They have their own suspicions, I think, of what's happened. And ultimately, Gilbert police say they don't have any persons of interest in the case at this point. They, you know, after 30 years, the family is wanting to see something done, and they're just kind of left with a lot of unanswered questions and without their beloved family member.
You feel like you're just at a loss because you don't have any answers.
It's been a long time. We need to know.
There definitely hasn't been enough done.
Have police said whether or not they believe foul play might be involved, or have they given any indication along those lines?
You know, that's kind of what's interesting is that, you know, they talk about that this is an active case that they're still investigating, that, you know, they haven't named a person of interest. So it's kind of unclear as to how they look at it. I think, you know, the family really sees this as though that there was. Whether investigators see that at this point, I think we're still waiting to find that out.
I wanted to ask a little bit more about some of the conversations you had with some of Lisa's family members, starting with her sister, Dr. Treva Free Kimbrough. What did she tell you it's been like to be without Lisa all these years?
You know, I think what really stuck out to me, you know, and understandably so, after 30 years, they still think of her every day. You know, they still wonder. And I think that there's such a big lack of closure. And I think there's a lack of peace in that, right? You know, when we have closure in something, we're able to make some kind of peace with it, but there's clearly an unrest with this family. And, you know, Treva talked about how, you know, they've kind of gone on with their lives in certain ways, but ultimately it's, and she talks about how she kind of feels guilty about that. You know, because her sister's not here. They don't know where she is. They don't know what's happened. And understandably so, that, I think, weighs on them a lot. And they want to see something more done. They want to see some kind of answers in some way.
It's super important for me to get to the bottom of this. Justice for us would be prosecuting the person who's responsible for this and anyone who helped them, to bring my family closure.
You mentioned that Lisa had a son as well. He was 2 years old when his mom went missing. What did he tell you about what it's been like to have to get to know his mom through other family members, through their memories and their photographs and things like that?
I think what's so powerful about this family is how close they are and how Kyle talks about, you know, obviously he's in his 30s now. It's been 3 decades since his mom went missing. He was two. Yet he says, like, he feels like he knows his mom, you know, through the photos that they've shared, through the memories that they've shared. And he also talks about how his mom kind of lives on through his daughter, which is a beautiful thing, but also kind of heartbreaking when you think about, you know, this not only is Lisa's son missing his mom, but now her granddaughter is missing her grandma. And so she, and they also talk, I didn't mention this in the original reporting, but I guess that Kyle has the same laugh as Lisa. They describe it as this very forceful laugh. It just kind of comes out, you know, and really speaks to kind of that joy that I think has been passed, you know, from Lisa to Kyle, and something that they deeply, deeply miss.
Have we heard from Gilbert police about what they think it might take to figure out what happened to solve this?
You know, after 30 years, they say that, you know, they're still working this case. They're still trying to cover any lead that comes through. And they're really wanting, you know, anybody, if you know anybody remembers anything at any point, you know, to give them a call. And that's kind of where it stands right now for them. They don't have, as I mentioned, they don't have any persons of interest identified in the case, but they do have detectives actively working on it. And so they're just hoping that, you know, what did we not have 30 years ago? The internet. And hopefully this can help jog people's memory and help bring some kind of answers, maybe some closure for this family.
Colleen Sikora with 12 News in Phoenix. Thanks for sharing the story.
Thanks, Reed.
And thank you for listening to this episode of The Daily Crime. As a reminder, we're here every day of the week, Monday through Friday. So if you haven't already, make sure you're subscribed to or following the podcast wherever it is you're listening right now. If you're looking for more podcasts, you can head over to vaultstudios.com for a full list of our shows that includes our weekly podcast, True Crime Chronicles. That'll do for this one. Until next time, for Vault Studios, I'm Reed Redmond.